I stood in Venice on the Bridge of Sighs, a palace and a prison on each hand. I saw from out the wave her structures rise as from the stroke of the enchanter's wand. 1,000 years their cloudy wings expand around me, and a dying glory smiles o'er the far times when many a subject land looked to the winged lion's marble piles, where Venice sat in state, throned on her 100 isles. She looks a sea sibyl, fresh from ocean, rising with her tiara of proud towers at airy distance with majestic motion, a ruler of the waters and their powers, and such she was. Her daughters had their dowers from spoils of nations, and the exhaustless East poured in her lap all gems in sparkling showers. In purple was she robed, and on her feast monarchs partook and deemed their dignity increased. In Venice, Tasso's echoes are no more, and silent rows the songless gondolier. Her palaces are crumbling to the shore, and music meets not always now the ear. Those days are gone, but beauty still is here. States fall, arts fade, but nature doth not die, nor yet forget how Venice once was dear, the pleasant place of all festivity, the revel of the earth, the mask of Italy.
But unto us she hath a spell beyond her name in story, and her long array of muddy shadows, whose dim forms despond above the dogeless city's vanished sway. Ours is a trophy which will not decay with the Rialto. Shylock and the Moor and Pierre cannot be swept or worn away. The keystones of the arch, though all were o'er, for us repeopled were the solitary shore. The beings of the mind are not of clay. Essentially immortal, they create and multiply in us a brighter ray and more beloved existence, that which fate prohibits to dull life. In this our state of mortal bondage, by these spirits supplied, first exiles, then replaces what we hate, watering the heart whose early flowers have died, and with a fresher growth replenishing the void. Such is the refuge of our youth and age, the first from hope, the last from vacancy. And this worn feeling peoples many a page, and may be that which grows beneath mine eye. Yet there are things whose strong reality outshines our fairy land, in shape and hues more beautiful than our fantastic sky, and the strange constellations which the muse or her wild universe is skillful to diffuse, I saw or dreamed of such. But let them go. They came like truth and disappeared like dreams, and whatsoever they were are now but so. I could replace them if I would. Still teems my mind with many a form which aptly seems such as I sought for and at moments found. Let these two go. For waking reason deems such overweening fantasies unsound, and other voices speak, and other sights surround. I've taught me other tongues, and in strange eyes have made me not a stranger to the mind, which is itself no changes bring surprise. Nor is it harsh to make, nor hard to find a country with I or without mankind. Yet was I born where men are proud to be, not without cause. And should I leave behind the inviolate island of the sage and free, and seek me out a home by a remoter sea, perhaps I loved it well. And should I lay my ashes in a soil which is not mine, my spirit shall resume it, if we may unbodied choose a sanctuary. I twine my hopes of being remembered in my line with my land's language. If too fond and far these aspirations in their scope incline, if my fame should be, as my fortunes are, of hasty growth and blight, and dull oblivion bar my name from out the temple where the dead are honored by the nations, let it be, and light the laurels on a loftier head, and be the Spartan's epitaph on me. Sparta hath many a worthier son than he. Meantime, I seek no sympathies nor need. The thorns which I have reaped are of the tree I planted. They have torn me, and I bleed. I should have known what fruit would spring from such a seed.
The spouseless Adriatic mourns her lord, and annual marriage now no more renewed. The Bucenta lies rotting, unrestored, neglected garment of her widowhood. Saint Mark yet sees his lion where he stood stand, but in mockery of his withered power, over the proud place where an emperor sued. And monarchs gazed and envied in the hour when Venice was a queen with an unequal dower. The Swabian sued, and now the Austrian reigns. An emperor tramples where an emperor knelt. Kingdoms are shrunk to provinces, and chains clank over sceptered cities. Nations melt from power's high pinnacle when they have felt the sunshine for a while, and downward go like lawine, loosened from the mountain's belt. Oh, for 1 hour of blind old Dandolo, the octogenarian chief, Byzantium's conquering foe. Before St. Mark still glow his steeds of brass, their gilded collars glittering in the sun. But is not Doria's menace come to pass? Are they not bridled? Venice, lost and won, her 1,300 years of freedom done, sinks like a seaweed into whence she rose. Better be whelmed beneath the waves and shun, even in destruction's death, her foreign foes, from whom submission wrings an infamous repose. In youth, she was all glory, a new Tyre, her very byword sprung from victory, the planter of the lion, which through fire and blood she bore or subject earth and sea, though making many slaves, herself still free, and Europe's bulwark gainst the Ottomite. Witness Troy's rival, Candia, vouch it, ye immortal waves that saw Lepanto's fight, for ye are names no tyrant can blight. Statues of gold, all shivered. The long file of her dead doges are declined to dust. But where they dwelt, the vast and sumptuous pile bespeaks the pageant of their splendid trust. Their scepter broken and their sword in rust have yielded to the stranger. empty halls, thin streets, and foreign aspects, such as must too oft remind her who and what enthralls have flung a desolate cloud o'er Venice's lovely walls.
When Athens' armies fell at Syracuse, and fettered thousands bore the yoke of war, redemption rose up in the Attic Muse, her voice their only ransom from afar. See, as they chant the tragic hymn, the car of the o'ermastered victor stops, the reins fall from his hands, his idle scimitar starts from its belt, he rends his captive chains, and bids him thank the bard for freedom and his strains. Thus, Venice, if no stronger claim were thine, were all thy proud historic deeds forgot, thy choral memory of the bard divine, thy love of Tasso should have cut the knot which ties thee to thy tyrants, and thy lot is shameful to the nations. Most of all, Albion, to thee, the ocean queen should not abandon ocean's children. In the fall of Venice, think of thine, despite thy watery wall.
I loved her from my boyhood. She to me was as a fairy city of the heart, rising like water columns from the sea, of joy the sojourn and of wealth the mart. And Otway, Radcliffe, Schiller, Shakespeare's art had stamped her image in me. And even so, although I found her thus, we did not part. Perchance even dearer in her day of woe than when she was a boast, a marvel, and a show.
I can repeople with the past, and of the present there is still for eye and thought and meditation chastened down enough, and more, it may be, than I hoped or sought. And of the happiest moments which were wrought within the web of my existence, some from thee, fair Venice, have their colors caught. There are some feelings time cannot benumb, nor torture shake, or mine would now be cold and dumb.
There is a tomb in Arqua, reared in air. Pillared in their sarcophagus repose the bones of Laura's lover. Here repair many familiar with his well-sung woes, the pilgrims of his genius. He arose to raise a language and his land reclaim from the dull yoke of her barbaric foes, watering the tree which bears his lady's name. With his melodious tears, he gave himself to fame. They keep his dust in Arqua, where he died, the mountain village where his latter days went down the vale of years, and 'tis their pride, an honest pride, and let it be their praise, to offer to the passing stranger's gaze his mansion and his sepulchre, both plain and venerably simple, such as raise a feeling more accordant with his strain than if a pyramid formed his monumental fane. And the soft, quiet hamlet where he dwelt is one of that complexion which seems made for those who their mortality have felt and sought a refuge from their hopes decayed in the deep umbrage of a green hill shade which shows a distant prospect far away of busy cities, now in vain displayed. For they can lure no further, and the ray of a bright sun can make sufficient holiday, developing the mountains, leaves, and flowers, and shining in the brawling brook, whereby, clear as its current, glide the sauntering hours with a calm languor, which, though to the eye idless it seem, hath its morality. If from society we learn to live, 'tis solitude should teach us how to die. It hath no flatterers, vanity can give no hollow aid. Alone, man with his God must strive. Or it may be with demons who impair the strength of better thoughts and seek their prey in melancholy bosoms, such as were of moody texture from their earliest day, and love to dwell in darkness and dismay, deeming themselves predestined to a doom which is not of the pangs that pass away, making the sun like blood, the earth a tomb, the tomb a hell, and hell itself a murkier gloom.
Ferrara, in thy wide and grass-grown streets, whose symmetry was not for solitude, there seems as 'twere a curse upon the seats of former sovereigns and the antique brood of Este, which for many an age made good its strength within thy walls and was of yore patron or tyrant as the changing mood of petty power impelled of those who wore the wreath which Dante's brow alone had worn before. And Tasso is their glory and their shame. Hark to his strain, and then survey his cell, and see how dearly earned Torquato's fame, and where Alfonso bade his poet dwell. The miserable despot could not quell the insulted mind he sought to quench and blend with the surrounding maniacs in the hell we had plunged it. Glory without end scattered the clouds away, and on that name attend the tears and praises of all time, while thine would rot in its oblivion, in the sink of worthless dust, which from thy boasted line is shaken into nothing. But the link thou formest in his fortunes bids us think of thy poor malice, naming thee with scorn, Alfonso. How thy ducal pageants shrink from thee, if in another station born, scarce fit to be the slave of him thou madest to mourn, thou formed to eat and be despised and die, even as the beasts that perish, save that thou hadst a more splendid trough and wider sty. He, with a glory round his furrowed brow, which emanated then and dazzles now, in face of all his foes, the Cruscan choir, in Wallo, whose rash envy could allow no strain which shamed his country's creaking lyre, that whetstone of the teeth, monotony in wire. Peace to Torquato's injured shade. 'Twas his in life and death to be the mark where wrong aimed with her poisoned arrows, but to miss. Oh, victor, unsurpassed in modern song, each year brings forth its millions, but how long the tide of generations shall roll on, and not the whole combined and countless throng compose a mind like thine? Though all in one condense their scattered rays, they would not form a sun.
Great as thou art, yet paralleled by those thy countrymen before thee born to shine, the bards of hell and chivalry. First rose the Tuscan father's comedy divine, then, not unequal to the Florentine, the southern Scot, the minstrel who called forth a new creation with his magic line, and, like Ariosto of the north, sang lady love and war, romance and knightly worth. The lightning rent from Ariosto's bust the iron crown of laurel's mimicked leaves, nor was the ominous element unjust, for the true laurel wreath which glory weaves is of the tree no bolt of thunder cleaves, and the false semblance but disgraced his brow. Yet still, if fondly superstition grieves, know that lightning sanctifies below whate'er it strikes. Yon head is doubly sacred now.
Italia, oh Italia, thou who hast the fatal gift of beauty, which became a funeral dower of present woes and past, on thy sweet brow is sorrow ploughed by shame, and annals graved in characters of flame. O God, that thou wert in thy nakedness less lovely, or more powerful, and couldst claim thy right, and o'er the robber's back who pressed to shed thy blood and drink the tears of thy distress, then mightst thou more appall. Oh, less desired, be homely and be peaceful, undeplored for thy destructive charms, then still, untired, would not be seen the armed torrents pour down the deep Alps, nor would the hostile horde of many nation spoilers from the Po quaff blood and water, nor the stranger's sword be thy sad weapon of defense. And so, victor or vanquished, thou the slave of friend or foe.
Wandering in youth, I traced the path of him, the Roman friend of Rome's least mortal mind, the friend of Tully. As my bark did skim the bright blue waters with a fanning wind, came Megara before me, and behind Aegina lay, Piraeus on the right and Corinth on the left. I lay reclined along the prow and saw all these unite in ruin, even as he had seen the desolate sight. For time hath not rebuilt them, but upreared barbaric dwellings on their shattered site, which only make more mourned and more endeared the few last rays of their far-scattered light and the crushed relics of their vanished might. The Roman saw these tombs in his own age, these sepulchres of cities which excite sad wonder, and his yet surviving page the moral lesson bears, drawn from such pilgrimage. That page is now before me, and on mine his country's ruin added to the mass of perished states he mourned in their decline, and I in desolation is. And now, alas, Rome, Rome imperial, bows her to the storm in the same dust and blackness, and we pass the skeleton of her titanic form, wrecks of another world, whose ashes still are warm. Yet Italy, through every other land, thy wrong should ring and shall from side to side. Mother of arts, as once of arms, thy hand was then our guardian and is still our guide. Parent of our religion, whom the wide nations have knelt to for the keys of heaven, Europe, repentant of her parricide, shall yet redeem thee. And all backward driven, roll the barbarian tide, and sue to be forgiven.
But Arno wins us to the fair white walls, where the Etrurian Athens claims and keeps a softer feeling for her fairy halls. Girt by her theater of hills, she reaps her corn and wine and oil, and plenty leaps to laughing life with her redundant horn. along the banks where smiling Arno sweeps, was modern luxury of commerce born, and buried learning rose, redeemed to a new morn. There too, the goddess loves in stone, and fills the air around with her beauty. We inhale the ambrosial aspect, which beheld instills a part of its immortality. The veil of heaven is half drawn. Within the pale we stand, and in that form and face behold what mind can make when nature's self would fail. And to the fond idolaters of old, envy the innate flash which such a soul could mold. We gaze and turn away, and know not where, dazzled and drunk with beauty, till the heart reels with its fullness, there, forever there, chained to the chariot of triumphal art, we stand as captives and would not depart. Away, there need no words nor terms precise, the paltry jargon of the marble mart where pedantry gulls folly. We have eyes, blood, pulse, and pressed confirm the Dardan shepherd's prize.
O Rome, my country, city of the soul, the orphans of the heart must turn to thee, lone mother of dead empires, and control in their shut breasts their petty misery. What are our woes and sufferance? Come and see the cypress, hear the owl, and plod your way o'er steps of broken thrones and temples, ye whose agonies are evils of a day. A world is at our feet, as fragile as our clay.
The Niobe of nations, there she stands, childless and crownless in her voiceless woe, an empty urn within her withered hands, whose holy dust was scattered long ago. The Scipio's tomb contains no ashes now. The very sepulchres lie tenantless of the heroic dwellers. Dost thou flow, old Tiber, through a marble wilderness? Rise with thy yellow waves and mantle her distress.
The Goth, the Christian, time, war, flood, and fire have dealt upon the seven-hilled city's pride. She saw her glories star by star expire, and up the steep barbarian monarchs ride where the clime climbed the capital. Far and wide, temple and tower went down, nor left a sight. Chaos of ruins. Who shall trace the void or the dim fragments cast a lunar light and say, here was or is where all is doubly night?
The double night of ages, and of her, night's daughter, ignorance hath wrapped and wrap all round us. We but feel our way to err. The ocean hath its chart, the stars their map, and knowledge spreads them on her ample lap. But Rome is as the desert, where we steer stumbling o'er recollections. Now we clap our hands and cry, Eureka, it is clear, when but some false mirage of ruin rises near.
Alas, the lofty city, and alas, the trebly hundred triumphs, and the day when Brutus made the dagger's edge surpass the conqueror's sword in bearing fame away. Alas, for Tully's voice and Virgil's lay and Livy's pictured page. But these shall be her resurrection, all beside decay. Alas, for earth, for never shall we see that brightness in her eyes she bore when Rome was free.
Arches on arches, as it were that Rome, collecting the chief trophies of her line, would build up all her triumphs in one dome. Her Colosseum stands. The moonbeams shine as 'twere its natural torches, for divine should be the light which streams here to illume this long explored but still exhaustless mine of contemplation. And the azure gloom of an Italian night, where the deep skies assume hues which have words and speak to ye of heaven, floats o'er this vast and wondrous monument and shadows forth its glory. There is given unto the things of earth which time hath bent a spirit's feeling. And where he hath lent his hand but broke his scythe, there is a power and magic in the ruined battlement for which the palace of the present hour must yield its pomp and wait till ages are its dower.
I see before me the gladiator lie. He leans upon his hand. His manly brow consents to death, but conquers agony. And his drooped head sinks gradually low, and through his side the last drops, ebbing slow from the red gash, fall heavy one by one, like the first of a thunder shower. And now the arena swims around him. He is gone. Ere cease the inhuman shout which hailed the wretch who won. He heard it, but he heeded not. His eyes were with his heart, and that was far away. He recked not of the life he lost nor prize, but where his rude hut by the Danube lay. There were his young barbarians all at play. There was their Dacian mother, he their sire, butchered to make a Roman holiday. All this rushed with his blood. Shall he expire and unavenged? Arise, ye Goths, and glut your ire.
But here, where murder breathed her bloody steam, and here where buzzing nations choked the ways and roared or murmured like a mountain stream dashing or winding as its torrent strays, here where the Roman millions blame or praise was death or life, the playthings of a crowd, my voice sounds much, and fall the stars' faint rays on the arena void, seats crushed, walls bowed, and galleries where my steps seem echoes strangely loud.
A ruin, yet what ruin? From its mass, walls, palaces, half cities have been reared, yet oft the enormous skeleton ye pass, and marvel where the spoil could have appeared. Hath it indeed been plundered, or but cleared? Alas, developed opens the decay when the colossal fabric's form is neared. It will not bear the brightness of the day, which streams too much on all. years man have reft away.
But when the rising moon begins to climb its topmost arch and gently pauses there, when the stars twinkle through the loops of time and the low night breeze waves along the air the garland forest which the gray walls wear like laurels on the bald first Caesar's head, when the light shines serene but doth not glare, then in this magic circle raise the dead. Heroes have trod this spot. 'Tis on their dust ye tread.
While stands the Colosseum, Rome shall stand. When falls the Colosseum, Rome shall fall. And when Rome falls, the world. From our own land, thus spake the pilgrims o'er this mighty wall in Saxon times, which we are wont to call ancient. And these three mortal things are still on their foundations and unaltered all. Rome and her ruin past redemption skill, the world, the same wide den of thieves or what ye will.
Simple, erect, severe, austere, sublime, shrine of all saints and temple of all gods, from Jove to Jesus, spared and blessed by time, looking tranquility while falls or nods, arch, empire, each thing round thee, and man plods his way through thorns to ashes. Glorious dome, shalt thou not last? Time's scythe and tyrant's rods shiver upon thee, sanctuary and home of art and piety, Pantheon, pride of Rome, relic of nobler days and noblest arts, despoiled yet perfect. With thy circle spreads a holiness appealing to all hearts, to art a model, and to him who treads Rome for the sake of ages, glory sheds her light through thy soul aperture. To those who worship, here are altars for their beads, and they who feel for genius may repose their eyes on honored forms whose busts around them close.
Turn to the mole which Hadrian reared on high, imperial mimic of old Egypt's piles, colossal copyist of deformity, whose traveled fantasy from the far Nile's enormous model doomed the artist's toils to build for giants, and for his vain earth, his shrunken ashes raise this dome. How smiles the gazer's eye with philosophic mirth to view the huge design which sprung from such a birth.
But lo, the dome, the vast and wondrous dome, to which Diana's marvel was a cell, Christ's mighty shrine above his martyr's tomb. I have beheld the Ephesians' miracle. Its columns strew the wilderness, and dwell the hyena and the jackal in their shade. I have beheld Sapphira's bright roofs swell their glittering mass in the sun, and have surveyed its sanctuary, the while the usurping Moslem prayed. But thou, of temples old, or altars new, standest alone, with nothing like to thee, worthiest of God, the holy and the true. Since Zion's desolation, when that he forsook his former city, What could be of earthly structures in his honor piled of a sublimer aspect? Majesty, power, glory, strength, and beauty all are aisled in this eternal ark of worship, undefiled. Enter. Its grandeur overwhelms thee not. And why? It is not lessened, but thy mind, expanded by the genius of the spot, has grown colossal, and can only find a fit abode wherein appear enshrined thy hopes of immortality. And thou shalt one day, if found worthy, so defined, see thy God face to face, as thou dost now, his holy of holies, nor be blasted by his brow.
There is a pleasure in the pathless woods. There is a rapture on the lonely shore. There is society where none intrudes by the deep sea, and music in its roar. I love not man the less, but nature more. From these our interviews in which I steal, from all I may be or have been before, to mingle with the universe, and feel what I can ne'er express, yet cannot all conceal.
Roll on, thou deep and dark blue ocean. Roll, 10,000 fleets sweep over thee in vain. Man marks the earth with ruin. His control stops with the shore. Upon the watery plain, the wrecks are all thy deed, nor doth remain a shadow of man's ravage, save his own, when for a moment, like a drop of rain, he sinks into thy depths with bubbling groan, without a grave, unknelled, uncoffined, and unknown.
His steps are not upon thy paths. Thy fields are not a spoil for him. Thou dost arise and shake him from thee. The vile strength he wields for earth's destruction, thou dost all despise, spurning him from thy bosom to the skies, and sendest him shivering in thy playful spray and howling to his gods, where haply lies his petty hope in some near port or bay, and dashest him again to earth. There let him lay.
The armaments which thunderstrike the walls of rock-built cities, bidding nations quake and monarchs tremble in their capitals, the oak leviathans whose huge ribs make their clay creator the vain title take of lord of thee and arbiter of war, these are thy toys. And as the snowy flake, they melt into thy yeast of waves, which mar alike the armada's pride or spoils of Trafalgar.
Thy shores are empires, changed in all save thee. Assyria, Greece, Rome, Carthage, what are they? Thy waters washed them power while they were free, and many a tyrant since. Their shores obey the stranger, slave or savage. Their decay has dried up realms to deserts, not so thou. Unchangeable, save to thy wild waves' play, time writes no wrinkle on thine azure brow. Such as creation's dawn beheld, thou rollest now.
Thou glorious mirror, where the Almighty's form glasses itself in tempests. In all time, calm or convulsed, in breeze or gale or storm, icing the pole or in the torrid clime, dark heaving, boundless, endless, and sublime, the image of eternity, the throne of the invisible. Even from out thy slime the monsters of the deep are made. Each zone obeys thee. Thou goest forth, dread, fathomless, alone.
And I loved thee, ocean, and my joy of youthful sports was on thy breast to be borne like thy bubbles onward. From a boy I wantoned with thy breakers. They to me were a delight. And if the freshening sea made them a terror, 'twas a pleasing fear. For I was, as it were, a child of thee, and trusted to thy billows far and near, and laid my hand upon thy mane, as I do here.
My task is done. My song hath ceased. My theme has died into an echo. It is fit the spell should break of this protracted dream. The torch shall pass, shall be extinguished, which hath lit my midnight lamp. And what is writ, is writ. Would it were worthier. But I am not now that which I have been, and my visions flit less palpably before me, and the glow which in my spirit dwelt is fluttering, faint, and low.
Farewell, a word that must be and hath been, a sound which makes us linger, yet farewell.
Ye who have traced the pilgrim to the scene which is his last, if in your memories dwell a thought which once was his, if on ye swell a single recollection, not in vain he wore his sandal shoon and scallop shell.
Farewell. With him alone may rest the pain, if such there were, with you, the moral of his strain.